beautiful way to ring in this Convocation Chapel. Welcome to this as we begin the 110th year celebration of Ashland Theological Seminary. We're delighted that you are here. We want to just give a few introductions this morning as we begin the academic year together. We are blessed to have the new president of Ashland University, Dr. Campo, with us this morning. And as well, we want to welcome all the new students who are with us that brings so much to this community. We anticipate that you will offer much to us, and we are delighted to have you begin with us this year. We also want to welcome our new faculty member, Dr. Brad Imhoff, who is the Assistant Professor of Clinical Mental Health Counseling. And so he has been with us for a little while in a different capacity, but he begins on faculty this year. And then finally, we're delighted to have Mrs. Jeannie Schultz and Mrs. Vera Schultz, who is Dr. Schultz's mom, and Jeannie, of course, is his wife. And so we're delighted to have you with us. And finally, we have a number of pastors from the community who are here, and we're so glad that you have come to be ministered to this morning in our chapel. And so it's great to see a full house here to begin the year. And now would you stand with us as we begin with the call to worship? We belong to God.
We belong to this place, expectant, confident that the one who has made us, called us, and led us here will carry on the work he began until its completion.
We belong to each other. We belong to the world.
We believe in the good work God is doing here. May we use our gifts, talents, and treasures to work for the good of the world, to the glory of our Heavenly Father.
And now let us sing hymn number 52. I sing the mighty power of God. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule by day. The moon shines full as Dr. Paul Chilcote leads us in the opening prayer.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, we know that unless you build this house, all our work is for nothing. At the start of this academic year, we dedicate this house of learning and work to you, knowing that everything good in it has come from you. We thank you for your provision. We praise you for your faithfulness. We seek to honor you with our work and in our lives. Help us to guard our spirits well, to seek your glory and not our own, and to work for the good of all. For there is nothing that we call ours which did not first come from you, good gifts from a good God, meant to be good for the world. May we steward well these gifts as we continue to serve you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Daniel chapter 6, verses 25 to 27. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples and nations of every language throughout the whole world, "May you have abundant prosperity. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion people should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, for he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." And now would you stand as we sing number 60, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
There is no shadow of turning.
be seated. And at this time, we welcome President Dr. Schultz to share the message with us this morning.
Good morning, all. Thank you, Krista. And I'll add my greetings as well to new students, new faculty, new president, new all around. What a good day. Also, it occurred to me I probably should say something by way of greeting to two of our trustees who are here. Dr. Arden Gilmer and Keith Tyson are seated back here. Thank you for checking in and checking up and, you know, seeing how we're doing here. So appreciate your dedication not only to this day but to this institution. You've both made great contributions, so thank you. We are in our 110th year, and we think that's a big deal. So welcome to the 110th year of Ashland Theological Seminary. I was driving in a spirited fashion on a long straight stretch of state highway when it began to rain. We had left early from church, but not early enough to make a family reunion on time, and so I was determined to make up some extra time. I saw the railroad crossing sign. There were no lights or anything, just one of those X's. I saw that at the same time I heard that loud air horn from the locomotive. I quickly determined that trying to beat that train was not a good idea. I also determined there's no way to stop before I get to the tracks. So I put on the brakes, thinking that if we slid up to the road that paralleled the tracks, and I got right there and took my foot off the brake, we might be able to turn down that side road. So I followed my plan. Put on the brakes, we began to slide. I turned the wheels so that when I took the brakes off, the car might turn to the right. And when I got to the side road, took my foot off the brake, and we promptly slid right on past that side road. Talk about feeling out of control, helpless, panic-stricken. I wonder, and I suspect it to be true, that Daniel may have had similar feelings. For sure, there had to be advance notice that the Babylonian armies of Nebuchadnezzar were on their way. And Daniel had been living what appears to be a good life. He was bright, handsome, healthy, a leader, and absolutely sold out to God. I suppose these days the word would be all in. Even with advance notice, as that army swept through the city of Jerusalem, destroying the temple of Solomon, which had stood for 400 years. And Daniel is unceremoniously dragged off or led off to what is now just south of present-day Baghdad, 500 miles on foot, along with some of his friends. His life had to feel very much like a train wreck. There have been similar times in the history of this institution. If you read Dr. Stouffer's history of Ashland Theological Seminary and the university college and university, there are seven chapters in the book. Three of them begin with words like crisis, challenge. There's one chapter heading, subheading, which is a spirit of apathy and defeatism. This is our 110th year, and the early years were marked with all kinds of financial challenges and theological controversy. I suppose that will never go away. The disastrous effects on enrollment of world wars, denominational division. Enrollment in the 1930s ran between 30 and 40 students. And when the decision was made to move the seminary program from an undergrad program on the college campus to a graduate program in 1930, there were a whopping total of 4 students in the seminary. In 1933, Ashland College lost its accreditation, and the Great Depression had a devastating effect on enrollment and, as you might imagine, finances. In 1952, fire destroyed Founders Hall, one more chapter to the challenging history of Ashland College that might have had one saying, "This is a train wreck. We're out of control." If you haven't noticed, this sermon is on really 3 tracks. One is labeled the Daniel one. Maybe paths would be a better word, no pun intended. So Daniel path, the path of ATS. But it wouldn't be all that helpful for each one of us facing a new year if there wasn't a third consideration given to how does this apply to me and my life and our lives together as a community. So back to that first path, the one of Daniel. Through the first 6 chapters of the book of Daniel, he and his friends are tested, as you know well, in all kinds of ways. They have to demonstrate their faith, their unwavering commitment to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in a variety of circumstances. Their diet is challenged, their worship is challenged. But in all of it, Daniel continues to climb that leadership ladder. He becomes so powerful, in fact, that those native Babylonians, over whom he is now in authority, decide, we got to get this guy out of here. We can't have some Israelite telling us what to do. And as you know, they devise a plan. They go to King Darius, and they have him come up with this law of the Medes and Persians, which is irrevocable. You can't do anything about it once you pass it. And so the law, of course, is for the next 30 days, you can't worship anyone but me, King Darius. Thank you very much. Well, everyone here knows what happens next. Some parts of the Old Testament, I think, people do come in already having, you know, pretty well down. Of course, the trap works. Daniel continues all in his worship of God. And the other advisors to the king rat him out. And the king has no choice but to put Daniel in the zoo. I haven't watched that program. I've seen a couple of the trailers, and I suspect Daniel fared better than some of the folks on that show. You'll have to watch and tell me. I'm not too inclined to go there. Daniel lives in a world of injustice and oppression and idolatry, a world filled with danger and political intrigue and war. But my friends, it is not a world out of control. In fact, one of the most amazing passages for me in the book of Daniel has nothing to do with fiery furnaces, interpreting dreams, handwriting on a wall, or surviving in the night of a night in a pen of hungry lions. Our scripture this morning is a quote from a heathen king, the ruler of the empire that destroyed the temple of Solomon, a man who has just passed a law, no prayers to anybody but me. Verse 9, and then we get to verse 25, and listen again to what he says. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. A pretty big decree. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout the world should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heaven and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Who's in control here? I mean, there's a bit of a shift. Everybody worship me. Oh, wait. Everybody worship the God of Daniel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who would have ever thought, who would have ever dreamed, who would have ever imagined that that king would say something along those lines, and not just say it, but make it a law, the law of the land? In 1958, Ashland Theological Seminary moved from its location two blocks that way, west, to here. And in this new location and under new leadership and with a new vision from the board and the president of the college, the budget grew from $50,000 in 1958 to over $600,000 by 1982. In 1969, Ashland Theological Seminary was fully accredited by the Association of Theological Schools. It's a mouthful, but I've said it many times. In 1980, the total enrollment was 378 students, and 25 years later, we reached an all-time high, 2006, of just under 900. 1930, remember, 4. 2006. 900, and we have sent workers into the harvest fields in Thailand and India and Tanzania and Zambia and Zimbabwe and Argentina and Mexico and Nigeria and Kenya and Indonesia and Hungary and Romania and Spain and Korea and Canada and China and more. We have graduated over 1,000 counselors who bring healing and joy to countless hurting people on a daily basis. Our Pastors of Excellence program has saved and strengthened the ministry of over 400 pastors. In our 110th year, that's this one, we have developed new degrees in partnership with the Vineyard Church, with Faith Life and Logos Bible Software. We're moving forward with plans to resource a seminary in Cuba, to develop a new program in chaplaincy, and to create an educational experience that will integrate spiritual direction and formation with the classroom experience, Life 631. We're partnering with Ashland University to do an accelerated degree so that you can get an undergrad degree and a master's, MA in practical theology in 4.5 years. For those of you who missed that, I'm sorry. Come back and try it again. It won't take as long. Our budget this year is just under $7 million, and we have full degrees, as you know, offered on 4 different campuses now. You tell me who's in control. The best chapters of this institution, and I would suggest the best chapters in your lives, have yet to be written. Many things in our lives are out of control. We're responsible, of course, for our own thoughts and behaviors, but we have many things that come our way that make us feel unprepared or weak or inadequate or panic-stricken or what kind of a train wreck is this? But we must not give way, my friends, to thinking that our lives are out of control. They may be out of our control, but the book of Daniel and the history of this seminary remind us of the truth that over all the trouble that confounds and dismays us is a God of glorious wisdom and power and grace and passionate love beyond our wildest imagination or expectation. You won't always see his hand, as you know. You won't always understand what he's doing. There will be times when life does not make sense. This is a train wreck. There will be times when you'll feel unprepared for what's on your plate or unable to handle it. In those moments, may I encourage you and remind you that there is a God on a throne of unimaginable majesty, ruling over all for his glory and your good. A God who loves you unwaveringly for all eternity. A God who has you in the palm of his hand. A God who is indeed in control. May you experience his love. May you experience control of your life circumstances that he has in this coming year. The car. Sorry to leave you hanging. We slid past the side road that paralleled the track and ended up in a ditch between the road and the train. I literally could reach out and touch the train going. I didn't, but you could touch it going by. There was not a scratch on the car, and there was not a scratch on its occupants. May God's love be yours in bushels, as Ron and I were discussing this morning, in this coming year. God bless you.
Please pray with me as the people of God. Our gracious and loving God, we give you great thanks for your faithfulness, your mercy, and your love. For 110 years of Ashland Theological Seminary, and especially today, we thank you as the body of Christ, students, administration, faculty, and staff, for our president, Dr. John Schultz, and his lovely wife, Jeannie, and his mother, Vera. For Dr. Schultz's 10 years of leadership at Ashland Theological Seminary as president, we pray upon this year, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to give us your mercy and your love, your faithfulness to him as our president, to guide us in this 110th year of this institution, that we may have your vision, that we may be inspired by your spirit, and that we may be bound together as your people to carry forth the kingdom of God that you have here for us. To equip men and women for seminary, for church leadership, for global impact, to transform lives. We give you thanks for Dr. Schultz, for his message today, to remind us of your faithfulness, to remind us that God, you are a God of redemption, that nothing is impossible with you, and that you can turn the world upside down with the power of your love. So, Lord Jesus, bind us together this year. Inspire us to be your people. And we thank you and we bless you for Dr. Schultz, for John and Jeannie, and for their wonderful leadership of 10 years. And we pray that you would give them your vision for this year and for the future. Equip us to be your saints in the good work of your kingdom. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in the name of your beloved Son, our Lord. And all God's people say, Amen.
Please join me in a responsorial prayer. It's found in your program. It begins on the last page of the inside flap of your program and continues and concludes on the back of your program. Let us pray. God of all power, you made the world out of kindness, creating order out of confusion. You made each of us in your own image. Your fingerprint is on every soul. Great is your name. Great is your love. We praise you. Holy Spirit, you broke the bonds of race and nation to let God speak in every tongue. You made disciples drunk with grace. You showed how love made all things new and opened the doors to change and freedom. Great is your name. Great is your love. We praise you. Great three-in-one God, you have put your ear to our heart, both when we prayed and when we doubted. You know well what we fear and question and what we long for most deeply in our lives. Even when we become deaf to you, you never stop listening for us. You are our foundation, our rock, and our strength. Great is your name. Great is your love. We praise you, faithful God, upon whom we build our lives. You stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge of you and to the table of your grace for the honor of your name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Campo. We're so grateful that you're with us this morning. And now, let us stand and sing our closing hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King over all the earth. Let us stand and sing. Number 262. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice.
Please pray with me for the benediction. Hear Paul's words. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, go now in peace. God bless you. Amen.